Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go. Let's go.
Got through the field. He's got through. 35, 30.
Broken intercepted.
Touchdown, Giants.
Another edition of Big Blue Kickoff Live here on Giants.com. I'm Paul Dottino. He's Howard Cross. Glad you could join us for the next hour to talk Giants football. They're playing the San Francisco 49ers on Sunday Night Football at MetLife Stadium. A big day for a number of the Giants folks who are going to be here to induct the newest class into the Giants Ring of Honor. Osiah Manura and Chris Snee. John Johnson, longtime medical guy who'd been around here forever. And also Mr. Hummus, also a war hero from many years ago, all going into the Giants Ring of Honor. Four more guys headed in. And, you know, I'll tell you something, Howard. Before we talk about this actual game, I don't know how many other hosts have talked about the Giants tradition and the Ring of Honor and everything that we do here during the course of the week, but I like it. I remember in the old Giants Stadium, there was no such thing. And I used to talk to Mr. Mara and also John Mara all the time about it, and I would say, for a team that's got such a glorious history and such a glorious tradition as the Giants do, so many legendary players, guys who are important parts of even the NFL, not just the Giants, it's a shame that there's nothing here. And I remember that John Mara always said to me, well, at some point in time, if we ever get that new stadium that we're talking about, we do that, there's going to be one. And indeed it is. So it's really cool to see those names go up.
It is. It's great. You know, you don't realize some of the people who are up. You know, you remember some of the great players over history and the owners that are up there. That's awesome. But a guy like John Johnson, I don't think people realize how important he was kind of to the fabric of not just the team, but to the league itself. John Johnson used to be the athletic trainer at Manhattan College for years. And when Mr. Mara asked him all those years ago to come over, mm-hmm. you know, to help him with his professional football team, I think John told me one time, or I was at an event with him, he goes, yeah, I was like, yeah, that's not going to last, professional football. So it's just great. I saw him the other night in the 90 reunion, so he's looking good, keeping it going.
Good for him. I'm so Absolutely. Glad he could be around to enjoy it.
Yes, it is. It's very nice.
So in any event, that ceremony is going to be at halftime of Sunday night's game against the Niners. So, you know, if you usually take halftime to go get some dogs or drinks or whatever it is, just kind of hang out and enjoy it and give those folks a round of applause because they all deserve it. And heck, I know you young folks know all about Snee and Osiah Manura. Hey, I will say this about Osiah. Even though Michael Strahan is the Hall of Fame defensive end from that team, mm-hmm. and the guy who I think is the right up with Reggie White as the two best defensive ends all around I ever saw play. I really believe that.
I love Michael. Now, I'm a big Michael fan, too, but I won't go best defensive end of all time.
I'm putting him right next to Reggie White. No, I'm not talking all time. I'm talking about what I saw in 30-plus years.
I can name a few, but I won't do it.
That's okay. I'm putting him right under
I
Reggie White.
I love Mike.
But here's what I will say about Osiah Manura.
Okay.
He was that spectacular player who made special plays, who made eye-opening plays. You never wanted to take your eyes off Osi when he was on the field because of the speed rush, the strip sack, his athleticism, which was really belied the position. I mean, he was what an incredible athlete as a defensive end.
Absolutely, absolutely. He's a thin, quick guy, had some great moves, got around the edge quick, reminiscent of one Derek Thomas, without the same kind of power, of course, but just speed. He kind of brought speed into this Giants defense that come off the edge. I remember seeing him before games racing with guys. I thought that was kind of funny. They would get out and race, get their little takeoff, and see who could get off faster. So I thought that was kind of cool. That was it ushered in a different era, and that's kind of the era that the league's in now.
Yeah. Yeah, he was certainly one of those guys who kind of bridged the different eras together. And, of course, Chris Snee, just a bulldog of an offensive lineman, real lunch pail guy, as tough as nails and as strong as an ox.
Yeah, tough guy. You know, that's the thing you think about Chris Snee. When you hear these words, tough, and you don't like to use it a lot when it comes down to football. But really, a guy that played through a lot of injuries, a guy who was there every week, a guy who could do anything. A guy didn't take a lot of stuff. You know, he got after you, and he was a mean, hard-nosed guy, and he did a good job. And, you know, one of Eli's roommates and kind of hung out with Eli. Kind of sad to see him kind of, you know, get so banged up that he had to let it go, but really a phenomenal player and a hard worker.
Yeah, always glad to see him around the facility because he does visit still. You remember his father-in-law is the coach.
Yeah, you got to bring the grandkids around. You got to bring the grandkids around.
All right, folks. Our number is 201-939-4513. Or you can hit us up at hashtag Giants Chat on Twitter. It's the Giants and the Niners on Sunday Night Football. Quick injury update. Victor Cruz is going to do a little bit of work inside today, apparently, but there's really no update on his status. So he's kind of on the side out indefinitely. The Giants don't know yet about Ayers or Kennard. Hamstring issues. It's already Thursday. That lessens the likelihood that they'll play. Doesn't rule them out yet. Okay, tomorrow we'll get the official injury report for the game. But certainly Kennard would really be a big loss. Not that the Giants don't miss Ayers, but Kennard has become such an important part of this D. So versatile and really a kind of guy, Howard, who you could hang their hat on and make plays.
Well, you know, he's doing a good job. He's able to stand up on that edge and set the corner. That's a contained guy. A lot of people don't realize that when you're watching games. But the guy who sets the edge, that you don't go any further past him when you're trying to run the ball and stretch the field, very important guy. And he's been doing a great job of that. He's bringing a lot of pressure in the passing game. You know, it doesn't show so much in the sacks, but he's actually hitting quarterbacks, knocking them to the ground, causing wreaking havoc coming off the edge, keeping the pocket intact. Again, another contained type moment, staying in his lane. The kid's a smart player, a heady player. I don't think that's enough, you know, attributed to someone being smart when they play. He is a tremendously smart player, and he actually gets the game, and he's a good pro.
It also looks like McBride and Hosley are on track and progressing, that there's going to be a good chance that they'll be able to go. And that's important because you'd hate to be two veteran corners down.
All hands on deck all the time, man. All hands on deck. That's all you can say.
All right, folks, let's get to the phone calls. JC in Phoenix, you're first on the show. Hello?
Hey, how you doing, Paulie?
Hi.
Hey, JC.
Hey, Howard Cross. Thanks, guys, for, you know, being here today. I appreciate you guys. I'm kind of far away. I'm a native of New York, Queens, and but I live in Phoenix now. I've been here about 10 years. I've been listening to you. You haven't been as long on the show, Cross, but I've been listening to the show for a little bit over 4 years, almost five.
Nice.
And wanted to just talk about maybe two or three things here. We'll start off with our defensive scheme. Going back to Buffalo, maybe some of the other tight ends, is it part of the scheme that you know, we'll give up those plays to the tight ends, but we won't give up the big, you know, the 20-yard-plus plays? Is that part of the scheme? I mean, I just didn't understand why Clay, you know, the only person that was really beating us in that game just kept getting open, and they didn't adjust to that. So I'm just, you know, wondering about that.
Well, I don't know the exact scheme, number one, but I will say this. A 5 or 10-yard catch is much better than a 40-yard bomb. So I'm not going to argue. I'm not going to argue the outcome. I think fans get fascinated with you got to stop that guy. But if that guy catches the ball at 10 yards and he's not going deep, he can catch it all day as long as they keep tackling him, and eventually he fumbles.
Yeah, maybe put like a third safety in there to cover if the opposite team, like let's say the Patriots or whoever has a very good tight end, why don't we put a safety there for, in the meantime? I don't know. But anyways, and then the second thing here is DeMontre. I'm losing faith in DeMontre. I mean, I think he has all the skills. Are they working with him, you know, to come up with different moves, or any of the old dogs, you know, in there, OC, anybody that can teach him something? I mean, is it that he needs to watch more film, study the O-line men? And then one more thing, and then I'll take it off the air here. Andre, I went back to watch the Buffalo game. It seems like he leaves a lot of green field out there. Like if he could just not just put his head down and corral the ball, you know, if he makes a move here and there, you know, maybe a stiff arm? Or is it me, or is it, do you guys see him just when he gets to the second level, just put his head down and not, and his vision is gone? Because there was maybe two or three plays where if he just kept his head up, maybe juked a guy, he might have been, you know, he had a lot of green on maybe two or three plays. I'll take that off the air. Thanks, guys. You guys have a great day.
All right, JC, thank you for calling.
No problem. In both cases, JC, you got to look at what you have. You got DeMontre Moore. He is what he is. You know, I keep telling people this when they call in and they talk about players and their abilities and what they want the player to be or what they want the player to become. The player is who he is. You know, you can't come in a stray hand, can't come back and talk to him. Bruce Smith can't come back and talk to him. No one can come back and talk to him and make him be somebody that he's not.
Words don't make plays.
Yeah, yeah, but it's like, and I keep using my son as a reference. I always tell people this. I use my son as a reference because he's at the pivotal point in his life where he's actually still listening. So when you make a suggestion, he goes out and tries to, you know, embody that and take that on. Grown men don't usually do that. Some of them will, but most of them aren't. You get there because I got here because I did this. Hopefully I can grow. That's where DeMontre Moore is right now. He's hoping he can grow. And that's me speaking on DeMontre Moore, not DeMontre Moore defending himself or talking. That's where he is. Now, as for, you know, the big man, Big Williams, Andre Williams, let me guys tell you this. There are bats that dart and cut and slash, and then there's the bat that puts his foot in the ground and goes forward. Williams puts his foot in the ground and goes forward. Mm-hmm. If you're looking for him to get out in the middle of the field and shake and wiggle, I don't think he's been to Dancing with the Stars. I don't think he's learned the salsa. I'm pretty sure he can't do the hokey pokey and spin and turn yourself around. He's going to go forward. I will take him going forward, not fumbling the ball over and over again. But it's when he gets to the second level I want him to do that. He's taking some time. He's learned not to run into the back of the lineman. He's learned mm-hmm. not to, you know, give up his body early. He's learned to give it a little more time to get up to the second level. But, you know, you're asking him to convert who he is. You are who you are. That's what's on tape, and that's what you're seeing.
I would also add, with only 37 carries through four games, a guy like him is a rhythm back. And
no.
That's what he tells me. And okay. I'm inclined to believe him.
Okay.
And so, you know, that to me, I give him some credence there because he's the kind of guy who I'd like to see. If he's in a 20-carry mode, he's going to be better in the second half of games than he is in the first half. I think we saw that last year in December, Howard.
I agree, but the offense is not kind of set up like that. And the rhythm guy is the anomaly that the league is getting into, and guys are like,
well, now they're in multiple.
Yeah, guys like to say, like, I need to get going, get my rhythm going. Like, no, you need to understand what you're looking at when you get started. You know, and that's not a knock on Andre Williams. That's the league in general. When a guy says, I need to get my rhythm, like if I watch tape and I know that the guy, okay, well, this guy is going to do this 80% of the time and third and whatever, I know what the guys are going to do. Then that's what I'm expecting. When a guy does something out of the ordinary, that's when I have to adjust.
Right.
Okay, so that's kind of the league's kind of, I don't know, like we study differently. Not to say that there's not the same kind of stuff, but we did things a little differently because we had more time to do it. Like they don't have as much time. So it's hard it's hard to get to knowing how a guy stands, how he's doing. I know that my offensive guard loves this play. You know, if I know he loves his play, I don't care who they put Superman over there, he's going to get him.
Right.
So I got to stay on that hip. I got to give him a chance to get into him. And if the guy actually shoots out, I got to take the other hip. But you got to know those things. And that's something that, again, comes with time. He's getting better. He's already learned to get around the blocks to get into the second level.
He has much more patience than he used to have.
Yeah, but so it's going to come to the next thing. You got to remember, in college, he never got touched till he got to the second level.
That's right.
So when you learn that, it's kind of hard to break away from that.
I also want to go back to one thing Howard said about, you know, giving up the short pass instead of the long one. To this point, the Giants have only given up one pass play of more than 40 yards this year. Well, only one.
Thank goodness.
Because you don't want to get beat over the top.
No. It makes a bad outcome. Let's just put it like that.
Yeah.
That's a bad thing.
Abdul, you're next on the show. Hello.
Hey, guys.
Hi.
Hey.
There are three teams I cannot stand losing to, and it's Cowboys, Eagles, and the 49ers.
Whoa. What happened to the Redskins?
He's got his teams, Cowboys, Eagles, and 49ers.
Too much. You know, historically, we have their number, but those other threes, man, they've just broken my heart a couple of times. So leading to last, I think last year is one of the most disheartening games was our loss to the Niners, because we had that team beaten and we gave that game up. So I'm hoping Eli turns around and throws five touchdowns instead of five interceptions this week. Is that'll be payback. That being said, completely different direction of conversation here. I'm kind of bummed out that are these soft tissue injuries are kind of creeping up on us. You know, I thought we invested a lot of medical time and resources into trying to figure this out with the GPS and all this kind of stuff. And I'm looking at the injury report and I see a lot of soft tissue injuries, and it's just disheartening, you know, because those injuries just seem to nag, and you know, they turn to hurt. I'm not sure what it is, but they turn to hurt teams a lot. So I hope this week. I don't think Kennard's going to make it this week, and I'm wondering if Jasper Brinkley will get a shot. I've seen him play in Minnesota, and he's an above average linebacker, and I'm just waiting for him to get a shot with the Giants. I think he could open some eyes here if he gets some field play. So is he on the depth chart at outside linebacker, or is it inside linebacker? That wasn't made clear yet.
He can actually play either strong side or in the middle. He's capable of either spot.
Right. But is he on? Was he mentioned in the depth chart at all? Because I haven't really seen a linebacker depth chart.
I'll be honest with you. I go by my eyes and what I know. I don't need to look at depth charts in a book. I mean, that's kind of irrelevant to me, because once the game is played, you can throw the depth chart out the window. So where are they listing him? I don't even know. I'll just tell you, he can play inside or he can play strong. And if you're the Giants,
who's the backup for Kennard?
No. What you're thinking is you're trying to put him into backup. He got here recently, right?
Yeah, he's been here for about a month.
About a month. Okay, so he's going through when Coach Spags came in, he put the defense in and getting everybody on the right page. If he's not playing, it's not because of anything other than he's just got to – he's biding his time, learning the system to make sure what he gets in, he can do it. Everybody's got to learn to play in the scheme. Right. And the scheme is, you know, with Spags is pretty cool. A lot of you see guys flying around to the ball, making big hits. Hopefully he'll get in the game if he can get into the scheme. And if he's above average, then he'll get some playing time.
Here's what I will tell you. Casillas has gotten more reps the last 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And he's done a pretty good job. He's pretty quick.
So he's buying it. You got to remember, buy into the system, use your abilities. If you understand any system and you have some ability, you look great. You can have all the ability in the world, but not understand the system.
No,
you look less than great.
That's bad.
So you're seeing what happens when guys understand the system.
I would only say this: I would think either Casillas will get more reps based on what he's earned the last 2 weeks.
But he's more weak side, though.
He is more weak side, or they probably would turn to Brinkley over Herzlick, I would think, if they had to make a decision. Herzlick has really been good on special teams, and I think they'd like to kind of keep him there and just do what he does best and not worry about tiring him out. Because I'll be honest with you, yesterday at practice during the media portion, Dwayne Harris wasn't doing punt returns. He was with the receivers because he took some whacks in Buffalo last week. Yep. He got beaten up. And it's like they don't want him doing kick returns and receiver stuff now.
Yeah, they got to make sure, because, you know, he took some of it was unavoidable because you're just running down the field.
It's going to happen.
Some of it was he didn't get out of bounds.
This all summer I've been riding Reese pretty hard, you know, saying that he might need to get fired and blah, blah, blah. And this is my mea culpa. He did a good job this offseason. You know, the players he got, Newhouse, Casey Thomas, Casillas, Harris, you know, we just talked about. But I didn't yet give him enough credit. These guys have all stepped up and made this team better.
Yeah. All right.
I said it. I have to. You know, I gave him a lot of heat. So I have to say I've been wrong so far.
I appreciate the call.
Happily wrong.
Thank you, Abdul. Appreciate it. We're being told by Dave, our producer, that on the depth chart, again, not that it's official. It's unofficial, and you can take it for what it's worth until they kick it off. The Giants are listing Herzlick as the backup to Kennard on the strong side, because Beeson, Unga, and Brinkley are being listed as the three in the middle. I'm telling you, Brinkley can also play strong side. In any event, let me get this spot in for you, fans, because don't forget the Big Blue Kickoff Live is brought to you by DraftKings, the daily fantasy sports destination at DraftKings. You can play as often as you want with no season-long commitment. Go to DraftKings.com and enter promo code New York to play for free today. AJ from South Carolina, you are on line four. Hello.
First, AJ. Hey, AJ. How's it going down there, man?
I'm good.
Yeah, you're not in the flood area. You're okay?
I'm okay.
Good.
Good to hear that. Go ahead.
I got a question about the tight end position. I know Daniel Fell is an injured reserve. Do you think the Giants would add a veteran blocking tight end?
You know what? They got a kid that they brought up from a practice squad. I forget his name.
they added a practice squad guy. They didn't bring him up.
From last week, who played?
Oh, you mean Ty?
Ty, yeah. Ty came in. Ty looked like he could be a blocker. Now, don't know if he's going to be able to be a blocker full-time in every game, but he looks like he could be a blocker. Now, they brought another guy in to bring him to the practice squad
this week to see
if he can be coached up and see where they can bring him along. But, again, we're talking about learning a quick offense, learning it in a couple of weeks, getting you into the game. A veteran guy would learn a lot of it, but again, West Coast offense, it takes some time to catch on everything. But as a blocker, if you can figure out which guy to get, that's just all about want to.
Hey, I got one more question. I know George Shelby, ain't he practicing? I think he was injured.
Shelby did not work yesterday, but we're not at practice today right now because they're out on the field while we're doing the show. But we'll try to check on that for you and get you the information on Giants.com. It'll certainly be up there later on this afternoon. But I'll tell you something, and thanks for the phone call, AJ. George Selvey, in his limited reps in the defensive end rotation, has been solid.
He's doing a good job. He's able to get in there. He's able to play against the run, which is important.
Sure.
Our team has been really good against the run.
Number one of the league.
And then against the pass, he's able to get a little pressure. Again, we're not hitting the quarterback enough, but these guys are standing in their lanes and causing the quarterback to throw out of the bucket, in the pocket. And if you can keep him in the pocket and make him throw out of the pocket, you're going to play against three or four guys that it's going to be great against, and you're going to play against three or four guys that's just not their thing.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's go back to the calls. Joe from Pennsylvania, you're on the show. Hello.
Hi there, Paul and Howard. Two things there I'm concerned about. The one guy touched on it earlier, the tight end from the 49ers, especially on third and long.
Vernon Davis.
Yeah, him. Vernon Davis, correct. Like I said, I would definitely bring in on third and long if we have them in long, obvious passing situations to double team that guy. I don't want to be getting beat like Dallas's tight end beat us there. You know what I mean?
That's Kaepernick versus Romo. So I don't think you're looking at the same thing. Keep Kaepernick in the pocket and let him throw it down the field. It may have a different outcome. The kid's got a big arm, got a lot of possible potential talent, but potential gets coaches fired.
Right. I agree. Keep Kaepernick in there. He's one, but Davis, I'm saying, I think he's still their key receiver, you know, to beat us. I think our corners can match with their receivers, but he's the one I would be concerned about, to throw a safety or corner on him on third and, say, 8 or 10 or longer. And one other, I forget the guy's name on our practice squad, I'm concerned about. He was a running back, and they had him running back kicks there. You recall his name, Paul? Fast guy?
Hart.
The returner. This year?
The returner that was in the preseason.
Hunt. Akeem Hunt.
Yeah.
He's not here. He was waived injured.
He's injured.
No, he was waived injured. He's not here any longer.
Oh, okay. I was concerned about somebody picking him up like Dallas. They lost their running back in that, you know, and I thought he'd be – he didn't run back punts anyway. It was just kickoff.
He was a kickoff guy. That's correct.
Yeah. Well, I was just concerned about him that, you know, to get him there for at least kickoff return. So that's about all. So thanks for taking my call. Bye.
No problem.
Thanks very much. 201-939-4513 or hashtag Giants chat. A couple of tweets here, Howard. I just want to mention here. Ben, Big Ben Z, wants to know, let's see, if Snead deserves to be in the Ring of Honor, does David Deal as well? Both amazing linemen, and Deal bleeds blue.
Deal does bleed blue. I don't know the qualifications for the Ring of Honor.
We don't get the pick.
I don't have any say-so over why they're in and why they're not. I think Snead was he three Pro Bowls?
Four.
Four Pro Bowls kind of cinched him being there. I think Dave had, what, one?
Yes.
Dave had one. So that's kind of, you know, these guys are Pro Bowl players, legendary players. And at offensive guard, no less, four-time Pro Bowler, that's pretty good.
We have another caller, Senor Ruiz, says he agrees with the caller. DeMontre Moore is regressing. I don't know if he's regressing as much as maybe he's not developing as much as you'd like him to be. Joe Benzolo says, Howard, you are saying that men cannot be coached. Tell that to Bill Belichick. If they can't be coached, they have to go.
Well, see, that's what I'm saying. It's like when I tell you about guys that can't be coached, sometimes they do cut them and move them along. You ever heard the expression, can't teach an old dog new tricks? Guys get where they're going by doing certain things. You draft them for the abilities that they show. Being coached means converting someone from a bull rusher to a speed rusher. If you don't have the speed to do the speed rush, you're never going to get there. If you don't have the power to be a bull rusher, you're never going to get there. So DeMontre Moore is caught somewhere between the power and the speed, and he's trying to learn his way out of it. That's what I'm saying. It's hard to coach that. That's something that he's going to have to make a determination in his life. Okay, this is the route I'm going to take. I got to get better at this route. Like me, I play tight end. I called a few passes, but I block. I made blocking my thing. I'm like, okay, I can block anybody at any time. I don't care. Put them out there. Put them in pads. They play at their own risk. Like throwing the ball, I'll catch it. But we didn't run an offense where we were throwing the ball, you know, to the tight end 60 times a year. We may have gotten 25, 30 passes. On a good year, we had 40 passes thrown in our direction. And that's with the unit, not with just me. That's with the entire unit.
Right.
So you learn to do, or you pick something that makes you so valuable, and you make it work for you. That's what I'm saying when I say coaching. Coach, that no one coached me to be a blocker. I took that on myself to do.
We have a Giants fan, Pharaoh 82, says, can we talk about how well Landon Collins played this weekend?
Roll Tide. Yes, we can. Yes, we can. Well, you know, I've been watching Landon the whole time. The kid is an athlete, and I'm not saying this because he's an Alabama guy. Kid's an athlete. Kid's got some range, and I don't think people realize that. And I think every week that he goes on tape, I think they keep testing to see how far outside of his area can we throw the ball before he doesn't get there or before he misplays the ball or something. And he's showing teams week in and week out on tape. Hey, look, throw it a little further out. I'll still get there. And like, if I don't intercept it, I might knock your guy out. He's getting – and he's not knocking him out of the game, but knocking him off the field or something. It's just he's getting better and better every week. His confidence is growing every week. His abilities are showing every week. Remember – he was projected to be a top 10 pick, top 15, dropped to the second round. He's playing like the person that he was projected to be. So, Roll Tide, kid can play.
All right, one more before we go back to the calls. Joe Benzolo says, I will take a lot of heat for this. So, Joe, be prepared.
Mm-hmm.
He says, Odell's worst enemy is himself getting a big head.
Getting a big head. I just don't see it. I just don't. I mean, Odell Beckham's kind of like nice guy, down to earth, talks to everybody, kind of, you know. He's playing with a nasty edge about him because guys are being a little chippy with him. And instead of him, you know, pulling himself back in and trying to get more passes, he's the Calvin Johnson right now of the team. He's the guy that every time a quarterback drops back, you think they're going to throw the ball to him. They got the safety over the top. The cornerback's riding him for the full 5 yards. And the safety, when the ball's in the air on the other side of the field, comes over. Gives him a little nudge.
Oh yeah,
and they're doing that because they know that he's reacting to it. On top of it, his enemy is himself, but his enemy is his success. And what he has to do is like, hey, look, I want you to keep coming after me.
I'm going to say one thing here, and Howard and I are not going to name names, but I have seen very good receivers who had the world of talent and who could be big play guys, who when you got really tough and nasty with them, they folded. They wilted.
Yeah.
Andre Reed, I'm sorry, you're a Hall of Fame receiver, but in Super Bowl 25, the Giants secondary turned you into chopped meat.
And he's even said to this very day, he's never been hit as hard as he was being hit in that game. So the thing is that Odell competes constantly. And you can be chippy with him. You can get after him. You can do talk to him, talk smack to him. He is going to come right back at you, and he's going to be a great receiver. I think he's got more talent than this guy, but his attitude is kind of on that level. Not as mean, but on that level. I think he's kind of a little bit like Steve Smith. He's overachieving. He's getting after it.
Yeah.
He's a physical guy, and you don't get to just push him down and knock him down. He's angry. He wants to play. He wants to compete. I'll take that anytime. I want that.
There's nothing more that a defensive unit wants to see than a guy who they can intimidate and basically make wilt and run away and hide. They love that.
Or a guy they can take out of their game. Now, you saw what happened in the Buffalo game. They took shots at him. They went on. They carried on. And then they lost their mind. They forgot, like, okay, maybe we should be calming down a little bit. They got overhyped, and the flag starts flying.
All right, fans, don't forget the Big Blue Kickoff Live is brought to you by DraftKings, the daily fantasy sports destination. At DraftKings, you can play as often as you want with no season-long commitment. Go to DraftKings.com and enter promo code New York to play for free today. It is 201-939-4513. Paul Dottino, Howard Cross, and Maurice, you're next on the show. Hello.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon.
All right, doing pretty well. Quick question for either one of you guys. What is the 49ers' identity as of now that you guys have seen from them?
Wow. What is their identity as of now as we've seen from them? I watched some tape on them, and right now they're struggling. Unfortunately, they're struggling. They got a lot of talented players. The problem is that those talented players have gotten a little bit older. They've played a lot of games. They're the same talented players that had them in the Super Bowl, that had them in the NFC Championship game, and that's worked. But, you know, 5 years down the road, 6 years down the road, 7 years down the road, you see guys getting older as they go. And you lost to probably the most important person in the mix, and that was Harbaugh. I know he's rough around the edges. I know he's a tough, gruff guy. And I'm not saying Coach Tomasulo isn't a good coach. But the guy who comes after the guy, it always has a hard time. And right now, they're looking for something. Don't know what they're looking for. Hopefully, they don't find it this week. But they're looking for something. And that's what's going on with them right now. You see players making plays. You'll see one great play. Then you'll see four or five bad plays. You like the running back, he'll blow through the line perfect. And he'll get tackled in the backfield three times in a row. It's just, it's not a personality. They're a team searching for something, trying to find their way. They lost their rudder in Harbaugh, and now they're kind of rudderless, and they're trying to figure it out.
Okay, because, you know, I don't study those guys pretty hard, but I know every time the Giants and the 49ers meet up, it's one of those old-school dogfights. You know, it's just something about those two teams. But I'm going to switch gears, and I'm going to ask you guys. I have, like, two more questions. I'm going to ask you guys. What, you know, my biggest thing this year, I thought, you know, one of the X factors would be knowing that Odell would get so much attention, would be Larry Donnell. So I want to ask, first, what are you seeing from him, Howard? You've been a veteran in this league. Is he still learning? Because this is just his second year. But you would think, I thought myself, that he would, you know, be a lot more comfortable and adjusted to the system. And secondly, and I'll take this off the air, my second point is, what happens now when Will Beatty come back? If it ain't broke, then why try to fix it? And, you know, how do you see those guys on that line playing? Because, Howard, I know you played alongside linemen. And how do you see, like, Marshall coming along? Because a lot of people, you know, was kind of skeptical about him.
All right, Maurice.
I'll take the two answers off the line. Thank you, guys. Have a great week.
Thank you. Let's go in reverse here for just a second, because I think Newhouse, based on his previous experience in the league, has certainly performed better than a lot of people thought, especially in his pass protection. So as far as Will Beatty's concerned, he's still another several weeks away from coming off a PUP. Remember, you got to miss six games. Giants have only played four. That's a ways away yet. You don't know if somebody's going to get hurt Sunday, God forbid.
Don't
go there, but – don't worry about Will Beatty till he actually gets activated and we get to that point. This is not the time to worry about it.
Until we know he's totally healthy. That's the other thing.
Let's not worry about that yet, okay?
The Larry Donnell thing?
15 catches for Larry, just so you can work off of this. Second leading receiver right now on the team, only has one touchdown grab.
Mm-hmm. Think of this. Larry Donnell was the guy who was learning the system and learning to be a tight end in the NFL last year. He caught 63 passes last year, made him one of the top tight ends in the league in receiving.
Yeah.
What did that do? That put him on tape. So if you're learning the position and learning the whole ins and outs of being a big-time player and you're learning, but you don't get the whole I'm on tape now and people are looking for me, that's a thing. The good on tape, him catching balls all over the field. The bad on tape, hey, tackle him a little bit below the waist and he'll flip, turn. He might even give the ball up. So he's on tape. They got 63 opportunities to see who he is on tape, and they've watched all of them. That's what the league does. You cannot hide from who you are. So he's got to learn to be bigger and better than he was last year on tape. Not be this dominant player, but because he was dominant last year. It's just, okay, what do I got to do? And you saw it in the last game. Caught a ball going down the sideline. Guy comes in low at his legs. Mm-hmm. He doesn't dive over him. He doesn't flip. He drops his shoulder and he goes down. And he kind of road grades, rolls over the guy. That's what you got to learn to do. You got to learn how to protect yourself on the field. He's putting that on tape, and teams are going to say, okay, well, we got to get away from hitting him in the legs because he is starting to pick it up. And he's getting better every game.
Okay, thanks for the call. Derek from Atlanta, you're next on the show. Hello.
Howard, Paul, I hope you guys are well.
You too.
Thank you.
Question. I'll start with Larry Donnell since you were talking about him. Mm-hmm. I think that, you know how you ever have an injury and then somebody, like, runs past or gets too close to your leg or something like that, and you kind of wince like, oh, they didn't hit it, but that thought was in your mind that they could have hit it and you didn't want to go through
absolutely.
That?
Absolutely.
It seems to me that Larry Donnell might have had an injury because even in the game where last week, you could see it in his mind when he was about to get tackled. He was almost going to do it, and then he's like, oh, no, I bet not. I've been taught. I've been trying to get out of that. But it's something in him. I think something's wrong. Like he got hurt on the leg or something like that.
No,
and I think he's trying to protect his legs or something like that.
No, that's just his personality. He didn't come in. He didn't grow up playing football the whole time. He was a basketball player.
Yeah.
He didn't come through Pop Warner or USA Football or whatever rec league playing. He didn't get up to high school playing and go to college playing and getting used to guys trying to tackle him below the waist. So that's a new phenomenon for you. Like, if that happens to you, if you're walking down the street and a guy comes by and swings a bat at your legs, you're going to be, like, jumping and flipping trying to get out of the way so you don't get hit on the knee.
Running in the other direction is what I'm doing.
But that's the whole thing, that people kind of, like, you're assuming that he's going to walk on the field and, oh, yeah, that won't be a problem. No, that's not how it works. You got to live through that.
There's a lot of, you know, I know you're going with it, but I'm just saying, you know, something that, you know, is in his head right now is more in his head. But, Paul, I was going to ask, because they reported Cruz as a minor calf injury, which then kind of, you know, I know he re-injured it, but it took a long time for that minor calf injury. I was going to ask, I know they have a relationship with the hospital special surgery.
Right.
Do they have a relationship with the orthopedic guy, like a James Andrews that's on staff or could, you know, consult with them? Because I know they reached out to other teams to try to get some help.
I'm gonna let Howard take this because he's had experience with this medical staff because there have been the guys around here for a long time.
Well, here's the thing. Hospital special surgery is one of the top hospitals. Dr. James Andrews is down in Alabama somewhere. He's one of the top doctors. And there's another doctor.
It's Georgia, isn't it? Andrews?
Alabama, Georgia.
I thought
he's in the South.
Birmingham.
Yeah,
Birmingham.
Yeah, so did
I know they got a consultant from the hospital.
All right, hold on.
Wait. Let me finish, and I'll help you out. And there's another guy. There's another guy out in Denver. So the top guys in New York are the Giants doctors. So you got Dr. Russell Warren, who was the team doctor, now Dr. Rodeo, who's not just the Giants team doctor. He's a USA swim doctor. He's a lot of doctors. You got Brian Kelly, who's not just one of the Giants doctors, but he's also the team doctor for the Rangers. So you got, like, all these guys here who are versed in so many different joints and injuries. You got all that. The calf, you know, a few years ago the injury was the hip. It was coming on, and their guys were figuring it out. The calf is like the newest soft tissue injury that teams are starting to work around and trying to figure it out. Like, and when they figure it out, they'll all figure it out at the same time. I have no idea what it is. Cruz can say whatever he wants to say, predict what he wants to predict. It's just an injury that no one's familiar with.
Well, I mean, people had calves in the NFL before, and I know Steve Smith had dealt with a couple of them before. His calves looks like it's ridiculous. I don't know what he do to his calves. I mean, his calves
look like bodybuilder's arms. Especially
but,
when you're a receiver, when your calf is hurt, when you make that plant and make that cut, that's what you're pushing off of.
Thank you, Derek. Yeah. Appreciate the call.
Hey, Howard, let me ask you a real quick question. I tried to ask it to David yesterday, and he got caught up in my trade scenario. But how do you learn an NFL playbook? I mean, because there's a whole lot of plays. Do you just have to learn the formations for linemen, or do you have to learn every play?
Well, one thing you have to be is a student of the game. I don't think that people who are listening sometimes get the whole idea. You try to figure out how smart guys are, but it doesn't work that way. You have to be a student of the game to understand formations, fronts, personnel. You got to understand a lot of things. I tell people the biggest thing in football is this. You break the huddle, you turn around, there are people standing on the field. As you get closer to them, they start to move. When you put your hand in the ground, they move again. And then by the third thing that you think of, when the quarterbacks have said hut, they start to move a fourth time. So for you, this to this is a learning curve. If you can't readjust what you're seeing from the moment you look up, it's almost impossible. It's worse for a quarterback because especially if he's a shotgun, he goes, okay, the safety's here, Mike's right there, let's go. Said hut, Mike's over here. Okay, so you got to adjust on the fly, and you got to be able to see that. If you're a D tackle, all of a sudden you're looking up, they're in split backs, blue 19, shuffle, everybody moves over, backfield's empty. Okay, well, I got to do pass rush. My stance is different. It's a learning curve that you have to do. So when you learn the playbook, it's basically the framework of what you're going to do when you're in the game, but you got to be a student of the game. So when they start to tell you plays, you can relate them to, oh, when I was in Pop Warner, we ran this play, just like this play. Maybe named differently, terminology is all different, verbiage is all changed, but it's the same thing over and over. You just have to know how it applies position to position.
Derek, even worse, the plays and the playbooks are now on computer and tablets. No longer paging through them anymore, Howard.
I remember taking home this thing that was this thick and just – I learned the entire playbook in 2 days.
Thank you for your call. Appreciate it. And by the way, if we wanted to really deal with this calf thing, mm-hmm. The guys who know more about calves than anybody are farmers. I'm just saying.
That's terrible. That's a bad joke. All right, let's move on.
Eric,
come on.
Eric from Fargo, North Dakota, bail me out here.
Fargo.
Good afternoon, guys.
Hi.
How are you doing?
Very good.
Hey, Paul, and I would like to ask you three questions. Number one, now that the Bears are trying to, I guess, start young or whatever they're trying to do, you think Giants could go out there and get a trade for Lieutenant Bennett for a tight end?
Ooh.
And
well, I will tell you, I know what you're talking about because the Bears said that they're willing to make moves and willing to deal guys.
They're selling the farm.
Because they're not happy with how they're fitting into their system, so they're willing to take phone calls. I have not heard Bennett as being one of the guys bandied about because they're not going to trade everybody, obviously. There's going to be some core guys they want to keep. I haven't heard Bennett on any trade rumors at all, so I don't know if he's available.
Well, if it's me and I'm the Bears, I would definitely trade Bennett because I know I'm going to get a third round or a second round pick for Bennett. Big tight end.
Good player.
Great player. A lot of fun.
Remember, his contract comes with him, though.
Yeah,
some people don't want to deal
with him. But when he shows up, I know what I'm going to get.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I would trade him if I was the Bears because I know I'm going to get, I might even get a first round pick for him. Kid's a good player.
Okay, what else?
Yeah. My other question is, the Saints just let go of Kenny Phillips, former Giants.
Yeah.
Do we think we could try to get back again with safety?
Let me make something very clear about Kenny Phillips. Because of the knee injuries that he had, which really derailed what was a very promising career, remember, he took a year off and then tried to make a comeback this year with the Saints. You'd have to believe that if he had anything left and if that knee was okay, the Saints, who aren't doing so well, probably would have kept him.
Yeah, you have to always remember when somebody releases someone late, that means not that the player is not a good player, but that we can bring someone in that's going to help our team more. Kenny Phillips, when he first showed up to the Giants, phenomenal athlete, phenomenal talent, and that knee deteriorated so fast that it just gets you. Like, you can't fight your body. Bavaro is a great player, played with the Giants for a few years, kind of laid off and came back with a couple of other teams. But another player that's phenomenal, when your knees start to go, your ankles and your joints that support your running and moving, it's just part of the game.
Okay, one more question. I think you said you had three.
Yes, Paul. And the other question is, now that we only have four receivers, do you think we could get another slot like Wes Walker? Not Kenix, but like Wes Walker or something?
Well, the Giants pretty much are going into this game this week with what they have now on the field. I don't think anybody else is coming in now for Sunday. Now, could that still change over the course of the next couple weeks? Of course it could. The team is always compiling what's known as the short list. Howard knows about this.
Yeah.
They have every Tuesday, virtually, guys come in by the van load who come in and do workouts. They take physicals, they take workouts, and the personnel department's there taking notes on all this stuff. And they put a little folder together on all these guys. And then they decide, does he go on our short list? And that short list is the list that they want to be able to call immediately should they suddenly need somebody at that position.
Yeah, I think you have to also remember that they're after guys. They're looking at guys. They're keeping guys, you know, number in their pocket. But until they actually have to pull the trigger, they got to think about a lot of positions. You can't just go out and sign a receiver when all of a sudden two of your main DBs are coming off from injuries from the week ago.
Yeah.
So if you sign a receiver and he can't cover a receiver, that could be a bad moment.
Yeah.
So you got to kind of like – it's not one position. It's your whole team constantly that you're working with. The GM, Jerry, he's got a lot to work with when he's looking out there, and guys get banged up. And guys get banged up a lot more than they used to. They just do. That's the way the league works.
Thanks so much for the call, Eric. You know, that's
hey,
the
Paul,
thing.
Paul.
Yeah.
Paul?
Yeah.
Hold on. One more thing. I'm just curious to know. I'm trying to look out this guy's name. Who is that top coffin? Looks like the guy's a security that always gets his head set.
Murphy.
The end of the game?
Murph.
Do you know his name?
Yeah, Murph.
Mike Murphy.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, sure. The one thing that Howard's alluding to, but just to explain it a little more perhaps, you only get 53 on your active roster. So what Howard's trying to say is, if you've got somebody dinged up or nicked up, and let's say they're going to miss a couple of weeks, or they're not playing quite right because they're hurting, if you try to replace that guy, well, guess what now? You got to take somebody off your 53.
Yes,
and you may not have somebody at another position that you can afford to get rid of. And the guy who may be hurt, if he's going to be back in a couple of weeks, you can't afford to get rid of him either.
Well, that's part of it, and you got to just think about like it. You have 53 guys. If say you have like you have right now, the receivers are banged up, but you have two DBs that are veteran guys that you need in the game. If
sure.
both of them for some reason can't play, you can't sign a receiver when you need cover guys.
No,
you just
can't do it.
I got just enough guys to play receiver. I may not have enough guys to cover.
And this is also why, though, the Victor Cruz thing has become so painful for the Giants, because as much as they would like to have an active receiver in that spot,
yep.
they don't want to IR him because then he's done for the season.
At this point,
or they temporary. Would, they can yeah. do the temporary thing.
Yeah.
But there's a spot there that's kind of being
wavering.
Held in limbo.
Yeah. yeah.
You know? All right, Tommy from Scranton, you're next on the show. Hello.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good.
Hey, first of all, with all due respect to Paul, I just wanted to let just my two cents. I love listening to Howard Cross. You know,
good.
Carl Banks, is Carl Banks, Howard Cross, these guys play the game at the highest level, and I will tell you that just listening to them is just phenomenal. I think they add so much to the show. So thanks very much.
Thank you very much.
We are very glad and grateful that we have a host of Giants on our broadcast team.
Yeah,
Howard
absolutely.
And David Deal and Jeff Fiegels and
absolutely.
Sean O'Hara they're and Roman Oben.
I would tell you, just listening to Howard. I mean, it just really, really a lot of great insight.
Well, we're glad
to
have these guys.
I appreciate that.
My question actually was going to be about Martellus Bennett, but someone had asked that. So I'll go back to the receivers. Obviously, as you said, Paul, you know, we're going into this week with four. Dwayne Harris, is he 100% for this week? I know, you know, he obviously got dinged up last week.
Well, he was out there yesterday at practice, and, you know, as far as I could tell, he was full. I'd have to check and see what he did today. We weren't out at practice this afternoon. He had hurt his ribs in the game in Buffalo. Took some nasty, nasty shots.
Yeah.
Now, I have no doubt he is a very street-tough kind of kid. And I have no doubt that he's going to be out there on Sunday. Now, is he going to be sore? I suspect from the shots he took, he's probably going to feel that for a while.
Well, the old days are of covering the pain, those days are gone. So now you play with what you got. So he's got to figure out how to get through the week, get around some pain, get through some injuries. Like, I never took anything when I played because I wanted to know what I felt and why I was feeling it. I didn't want any keep the Advil, keep the Aleve, keep whatever else you may want to give or shoot at me. I am fine. I just want to know if something's hurting, I want to be able to identify it the entire game. So I don't want to go out there with broken ribs and go like, give me the ball and get my lung is collapsed. No, I want to know everything that I'm feeling so I can protect myself and go. Harris is one of those guys that looks like he wants to play under those circumstances, and he's doing a good job of it.
By the way, the five catches against Buffalo was his career high because when he was in Dallas, even though they used him some as a receiver, he didn't get targeted very much.
Well, he just, you know, with Dez Bryant always crying for the ball, it's kind of hard to throw.
Paul, just to follow up to that question, you know, and it's good to know that Harris will probably be out there, but buddies of mine, and myself, we were talking about Shane Vereen and how valuable he is.
Right.
What would be your thought about using him sometimes as the third receiver, as the slot receiver?
They have that in the playbook.
Harris isn't 100%.
They have that in the playbook. So Vereen can play some slot. That's in the playbook.
It's also by design, and the reason why that's more of a league thing more than it is a Giant thing. When you see the empty backfield, sometimes the running back goes all the way out to the side. He's the last guy on the line. And sometimes the running back just comes off the tackle and he stands in that spot. When he's in that spot, they're predicting that he's going to catch the least of the cover guys. And that's why they're trying to put him there. When they slide him all the way out, they're hoping that a linebacker will go out there and chase him. But if he doesn't, they're like, okay, well, we know we'll put him in here where the linebacker has to cover him. So, yeah, he has some ability to play that position.
Yeah, and I'll let you go. I know there's a lot of people on the line. The only other thing, you know, just to get back to my original point with if we, you know, getting Bennett would be phenomenal. I think Donnell is – I think he has a lot of talent. But to me, you know, he's more – I just don't see him being the workhorse. I think as Howard pointed out, I mean, the way he – you just – when he catches that ball and he gets hit a certain way – You just hold your breath until he comes down because you're afraid that ball is going to come loose sometimes, and it would be great to be able to get a veteran tight end now that Fields is gone to just give us a bit more stability at the tight end role. And obviously, I know that's you know an area that Howard knows better than anybody. So. That was my thought. But thank you very much, guys. I really appreciate it, and I enjoyed listening to you both.
All right. Thanks so much for the call. Remember, fans, one more time, Big Blue Kickoff Live is brought to you by DraftKings. Now, if you've never played on DraftKings, it's changing the way we play fantasy football. Just pick your contest, pick your players, and if you win, you pick up cash. Simple as that. Go to DraftKings.com, and the promo code New York gets you a free entry today. Jeff from New Hampshire, you're next on the show. Hello.
Hi, how are we doing today?
Good to talk to you.
Good. I just wanted to comment on a couple of quick things and then leave you with a question. Kind of wanted to jump in on what one of the callers said a minute ago about signing a guy like Welker or some of these other things. You hear it every day on this show, especially fans are always screaming, sign this guy, sign that guy. I think, and it's the kind of natural thing, I do it myself every now and then. When you hear a name that you recognize, like a Wes Welker, like a Jake Long, you kind of fall in love with the name, or you remember, you know, we hear Wes Welker's in the facility. We think of 2007 Wes Welker. Wasn't 2015. This isn't 2007 anymore.
Right.
So we as fans, we want a name we're familiar with. We all heard of Jake Long. We'd never heard of Marshall Newhouse, so the Giants signed him.
So everybody's clamoring, why aren't we signing Long? You know, they're making horrible decisions not signing this guy. When you don't realize that physically the guys aren't the player you remember, Marshall Newhouse is a better football player right now than Jake Long is. More people know the name Jake Long than Marshall Newhouse. Newhouse is the better player.
Jeff, I think the one thing that none of us know about, and this is for the media included, it's not just the fans, when you hear about a veteran name coming in, you have no idea about his medical condition.
Right.
I mean, that above and beyond anything else. You could talk about salary or demands or what he wants or the attitude he's got. Does he fit? You could talk about all that stuff all you want. But the one thing above all else that you don't know and we don't know is what is the guy's medical folder tell the team? Because you got to go through that doctor's physical when you do your workout. They take you through that physical, and they know everything about you. They know how many hairs are on your eyebrows, okay? And Howard knows I'm not joking about this. And that right there, that is the linchpin, because there is no conversation about signing a player if the medical guys say, guess what? No good. He's not passing our physical. You're not playing.
I think it's more than that. I think that you have to realize something, and I would hope fans would think this way. Sometimes as a fan, think like a GM. Think like in your mind, what would I do in this moment? So first thing you think of when a player's out on the market is, why is he out in the market? Like, if he's everything that I think that he is because of the name, the cachet of the name, then I sign him. But I have to ask myself, why is he out in the market? If he's good enough to come to my team, why isn't he playing on the team already? And I think that way. I don't think that when guys come in, oh, this guy's great. Or, you know, if it's a contract year and you move around, that's a given moment. But if you're not signed by anyone, I'll bring you in for a workout, but I got to find out, like, what am I hoping to get out of you?
That's kind of my point. I think everybody gets all upset when we don't sign these big names, and I think that the points you guys just made tend to get overlooked by a lot of us.
Yeah, I mean, fans get crazy.
I mean, Wes Welker right now. I'd rather see Shane Vereen out in the slot than Wes Welker.
Well,
Shane Vereen's a better football player right now.
I think Wes Welker is probably a good football player. I think Wes Welker had a great career. Wes Welker also complained about and did suffer from a few concussions. And as crazy as that is right now in the world, I don't know if he would be out of football, so to speak, if that wasn't one of his things.
Right.
I think that's the thing.
Wide receivers. He'd have a job if he was still.
Yeah.
When
you're out on the blocks for that long, you're not out on the blocks because, hey, you're a good player and things just aren't working out. There are reasons for you to be out there.
And then on the flip side, you get a guy like Brandon Merriweather, who was out all spring and all summer. Giants needed the safety. All of a sudden, the season's about to start. They need somebody. They find him. They sign him. And actually, he's done a pretty good job.
He has done a good job. And the thing is,
well, physically, he was able to.
That's what we're talking about.
Yeah, but physically, he's able to. But also, think about this. He was, like, let go, money, everything is happening. And it's like, well, you're not really the greatest cover guy. You're a big hitter. Okay, come to our team. We need a big hitter. Show up. We need somebody who can hit somebody.
The fit in the system is so much more important in football than it is in, like, basketball or baseball.
Sure.
You got to be willing to do anything.
Hey, thanks so much for the call. We appreciate it.
Can I ask one question real
quick? Real quick, because we're running out of time.
Yeah, no problem. While you were talking about doing everything, Nick Whitlock is becoming, I think, one of everybody's favorite players. Somebody mentioned the other day, you know, our biggest struggle at tight end is getting good blocking from the tight end spot. I know Whitlock practices about 20 different positions. He's probably our emergency quarterback at this point.
Okay.
What do you think the possibility would be of using him to, you know, cover that edge and block some out of the tight end position, or using him as like a blocking tight end?
Whitlock is a really good player. He's really fast. He's a good pass rusher. He was a all ACC pass rusher, I think, in college from Wake Forest. Tough nose fullback, able to get in and fit in there. His limitation may be his height. I don't think that a tight end can be a tight end. Is he 6 foot tall?
Barely.
He may be 6 foot tall. And I think when you're that size and you're having – when you're fullback and you're running through the hole to hit somebody, you're making a collision because that guy can't get away from you and you can't get away from him.
Different than feeling the edge of a tight end.
Yeah, well, when you're a tight end and you're standing in front of somebody,
that's a little different.
Then it's like – then there are things that come into play like, how long are your arms? And that's why he's such a great pass rusher. Again, small, compact guy. linemen are 6'3", 6'4", some of them are 6'6", 6'7".
He's so quick.
And then you're, like, in your stance, and you're reaching down to try to get your hands on a guy who's spinning, turning, twisting, grabbing, spinning. You're like, I can't get to him because he's not coming up here. You're used to a guy popping up in your face and trying to push your head back and get his hands at your chest. Whitlock's not worried about that. Whitlock's going by your hip.
Yeah.
so that's a problem.
Thank you so much for your call. And before we go,
thank you.
People on Twitter were asking me this past week,
yep,
does Whitlock have a nickname? And I said, maybe it's time we give him one, although you like to make people earn it. So we had three finalists that we talked about. One was Double Trouble. Because he does play both sides of the ball.
Okay.
Another one was Crusher because he says he loves to crush the guy in front of him at all times.
Nice.
So that wasn't bad. And the other one, which I think might be the winner, Howard, somebody suggested to me, Transformer.
Transformer. That's so bad. That's terrible.
I don't know. I'm thinking Transformer's pretty good.
I'd call him a Swiss Army knife. You can plug him in and play with anything.
All right. That'll do it for today's edition of Big Blue Kickoff Live. We are here on Giants.com Monday to Friday, 12 noon to 1 p.m. He's Howard Cross. I'm Paul Dottino. We'll see you next time.
Nikita the Swiss.
All right, here we go. Here we go. Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go.
Down to the field. He's got through. 35, 30.